Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
One of the most important teachings in the Bible is that when Christ comes into a life, He makes a change. He makes a difference. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And when there is no change and there is no significant difference, the question has to be raised, has there really been salvation? Has this one been regenerated? Have they been given a new heart by the Holy Spirit of God? And some of those changes are noted in the covenant, that when Christ indwells a person, then they're going to be different in the way that they relate to those around them. And so we've seen that Christ makes a difference in how we feel toward others. We will cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling. And Christ makes a difference in how we talk to one another. We will cultivate Christian courtesy in speech. And Christ makes a difference in how we act toward one another. We will aid one another in sickness and distress. And all of these are phrases out of the fifth paragraph of the Baptist Church Covenant, which says we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress. Could cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and Christian courtesy and speech, but to aid one another in sickness and distress. This is one of the marks of discipleship. The love we have toward one another expresses itself in practical ways. We come to one another's aid in times of sickness and distress. And this is simply biblical Christianity. This is working out what Paul said in Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When our brother or sister in Christ is burdened down by some necessity, sickness or distress, as it's called here, some great burden that is weighing them down, other Christians come alongside and help them bear that burden. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is the law that tells us to love one another. As Christ has loved us, so we are to love one another. And so we endeavor to aid one another in sickness and distress. And this is because of the love which God instills in the hearts of His children for other Christians. This is because of the family relationship that we have with one another in the body of Christ. We normally would do that in terms of human family. Sometimes sin has wrecked the human personality to such a degree that there's not even the kind of normal affections within families that you would expect. But in families, even in the families of unconverted people, there's generally a willingness to come around and help one another in times of sickness and distress. Even if there might not be as much love and courtesy at other times, there will be at these times. Sympathy. Practical helpfulness. It's wonderful to see that. To see that expression of human decency and dignity, even among those who don't know Christ. This, I'm convinced, is the remnants of the fact that we've been created in the image of God. And we haven't completely lost that higher ideal, that higher plane that we were created for before sin came in and caused so much wreck and ruin in the human family. But sin did not completely destroy this higher being that Adam was before he sinned. This image of God that is stamped upon every member of the human race and which we all bear to some degree. The theologians call these kind expressions of goodness, even among the unconverted, common grace. The common grace of God, not the special grace, not the particular grace that salvation brings into the lives of God's people, but the common grace that can be found even in unconverted society. There are certain levels of decency. There's certain courtesies, certain manifestations of helpfulness that you can find even among the unbeliever. We've all heard the saying that there's honor among thieves. You say, what does that mean, by the way? I've heard that, but what does that mean? Well, that means that even among thieves, among criminals, among crooks, there is some kind of reciprocal courtesy. It might be simply self-serving, but nevertheless, it's generally there. I won't intrude into your turf if you won't intrude into mine. I won't be dishonest with you if you won't be dishonest with me. Here are thieves that are making their living robbing other people, but they will afford each other a certain amount of professional courtesy, if you want to call it that. And it's a way of getting along. If thieves rob one another, then there's nobody to protect them. So in the fraternity of thievery, there's a certain level of decency and respect. How much more among the people of God? If there isn't more among the people of God, or among the professing people of God, then something's really wrong. If there isn't a higher level of love and practical expressions of sympathy in the members of the church, then something's badly wrong with the church. Either the church is in deplorable spiritual condition, or there are members in the church who have never truly been regenerated, and actually those two things generally go together. When church membership roles are invaded by unconverted people, then bad things happen in the church. The church is not going to act different from the world if the church is the world. But Christians have a different way of acting and thinking and have a greater level of love and practical concern for one another. And that's why we gladly endeavor to aid one another in sickness and in distress. We gladly commit ourselves to watch over one another in brotherly love and to aid one another in sickness and distress. That's simply understanding the interaction of the members of the body. When we realize that we are all members of the same body, and it is really true that when one member is hurting, the whole body hurts, then we will go to the aid of one another. That's the way it works in the human body. When you bang your thumb with a hammer, your whole body shrieks out in pain, and other parts of the body rally to aid the injured member. You grab that thumb with your other hand. You wrap that thumb in a Band-Aid. If the skin is broken, you apply some kind of antiseptic to that thumb to keep it from getting infected. If you really injured it badly, then your feet will and legs will take you to your automobile, and you drive yourself to the doctor or to the emergency room and give that thumb the care that it needs. It needs some help. It's in distress. And so the other parts of the body recognize that, and they spring to the aid of the injured part of the body. Well, that's the way our physical body works. That's the way the body of Christ works, or at least is supposed to, and it will if it's operating properly. And so when other members of the church are distressed by sickness, we comfort them. We help them. We express concern and we assure them of our prayers and we call to check on them and we send them cards and we visit them when it's appropriate. It's not always appropriate. And we also help in practical ways. We provide food and sometimes transportation to get them back and forth to the doctor or childcare to help them during this difficult time. And sometimes financial aid is needed. And sometimes some Christian counsel is helpful when they ask for it. No, just sashay in and plunk it upon them. This is what you need to do. This is what God told me. No. Christian courtesy and speech, which is also part of what we do, will keep us from acting in that way. But we try to discern what the needs are and try to help. I'm thankful to see wonderful expressions of that in our own church. Some weeks ago, I got an email from a member of our church about a family whose house had burned down. Now, I don't know the family. Hardly anybody else in the church knew the family. But they were known by this one particular member of the church who had met them in an association that I won't go into now. And so they were aware of the need, and I mentioned that on a Wednesday night at prayer meeting, and we received an offering and had a much larger offering than we normally take on Wednesday night. People really rallied, and we collected a large sum. And I found out later that some of our people called the member of the church who had alerted us to this to find out if there were other practical ways that they could help. Somebody they didn't even know, not a member of our church, but identified by me as a member of the body of Christ, as a fellow Christian, and to see our people spring into action and express genuine concern and practical concern was a tremendous encouragement to this pastor. And I think is exactly what the Bible calls upon us to do, and is exactly what this church covenant is calling upon us to do. Practical help when people are suffering sickness. Practical help when people are suffering distresses of other kinds. Bereavement. Loss of a job. Serious marriage or family problems. Difficulties with their children. Oh, how many of God's people are struggling with grown children who are wayward and are creating tremendous pressures upon them and tremendous burdens for them. And we can't make it go away. We can't solve their problems. That's not what we're called upon to do. We are called upon to aid one another in sickness and distress. Practical expressions of love, concern, and help. And it is these things that show the reality of Christ in us more than many of those ceremonial or ritualistic things that sometimes we point to. This is what shows I'm a Christian. I do this. I've done that. I've been baptized in water. Do you show Christian courtesy in speech? And do you come to the aid of others in sickness and distress? That's the way to show Christian love. That's what Jesus meant when he said, by this will others know that we are disciples, that we have love one for another? Not just a sentimental feeling, but practical expressions of aid. And if you don't realize that Christianity makes people more sensitive to the needs of others, then you have greatly missed something in your reading of God's Word. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.